Hello and welcome to Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God with Eric Green, author, producer, songwriter, recording artist, and senior pastor of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. I'm your host, Cody Willis, and I'll be facilitating this podcast and interviewing Pastor Eric on a variety of topics pertaining to our walk with God, the ministry of the gospel, and the practical outworking of our lives in Jesus Christ. So, thank you for joining us for a lively discussion that we hope challenges and inspires you to think more deeply and biblically about your relationship with God and men. Most importantly, Pastor Eric believes we should all be learning more and more about our God because he has a beautiful purpose and a plan for you. In today's episode, Low Man Wins, Part 2, I'm here with Pastor Eric Green of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. And Pastor, it says in Psalm chapter 84, verses 10 through 11, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Pastor, we touched briefly in our last episode on the title of servant, which will be the focus of today's conversation. It says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, "The last will be first, and the first last." Servants are not highly regarded in any society, but they are in the kingdom, aren't they, Pastor?
The position of servant is the highest position, and that's something that we have to set ourselves to understand, because it's important that we think of Jesus Christ not only as the Son of God, not only as the Son of Man, but the servant of God and the servant of man. In other words, the only thing that really matters to the Lord Jesus is God's interest in you and me. And he was completely focused on that. He didn't have any interests of his own in you and me. He laid all that down. His interest was that of the Father. Now, there's consistency there because you cannot get a sliver of daylight between the Father and the Son. So the interest is identical. But in practical terms, the Lord Jesus laid down all of the things that would matter to a man, that would matter to him in terms of position, in terms of prerogatives, in terms of priorities. He laid all that down so that he could be concerned about men according to his Father's concern. And that's really what we're called to as men and women and children of God, to have a perspective that is informed by God's perspective. And the only way we can do that is to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves, to put ourselves on the lower shelf, so to speak, so that God can rise up in us and we can serve other people according to that perspective, according to his strength and not ours, according to his desires and not ours, according to his goals and not ours, according to his influence and not ours. That's what Jesus did. And it's important for us to see Jesus that way.
So, Pastor, let's talk about that for a moment, because I call you Pastor, and I've been honored to do so for many years now. Yet I've heard you refer to yourself as the chief servant in the house of the Lord. Can you just talk about how that goes together?
I think that that is the proper, once again, perspective that I should have, is that we talked about in the last episode, low man wins, that there's that which God will do through me for his people if I will see myself as a servant, as I will see myself the one given the best opportunity to serve others through the position that God has given me. The anointing that's on my life and the life of anyone that God calls to pastor is a tremendous anointing. I believe it's the most important occupation that there is on earth, because we have been given the opportunity to serve that which Jesus died for. And there's nothing more important than that for which Jesus died, the work that he did, and the reason he did that work, so that we who believe can have relationship with a holy God, with his Father, and now our Father. So he did that by lowering himself. He didn't do it by lifting himself up and putting himself up on a throne, or putting himself on a white horse, or coming as a hero. He did it by coming in obscurity and by humbling himself and getting lower than any other servant that has ever lived, and serving to the point where it cost him his very life. And he's the only person that never committed a sin. So therefore, death had no grip on him at all. But he submitted himself to die for us on our behalf so that we could rise up and be sons or daughters in God according to his sacrifice. I believe that that's the spirit that I'm to serve in as I pastor people. It's not about me. It's not about how I can help folks. It's about how I can put the focus on Jesus Christ and serve them according to his desires for the people I serve.
So, Pastor, you mentioned the perspective of the servant a moment ago. And in our last episode, you spoke about the fact that not much, if anything, lives on the mountaintop. There's little oxygen up there. So I'm struck that the perspective up there, while perhaps beautiful in some respect, fails to accurately see what is happening at the ground level. We just spoke about your role as chief servant in the house of God. I've also heard you say that you have the best seat in the house. Can you talk about that reality and how they go together?
Think about the things that I'm privy to, Cody, if I'm your personal servant. Let's say I'm your maid or your butler. Then I get to wash your clothes, for instance. And that's a very intimate thing. If I get to wash your clothes, I know things about you that no one else knows. That's just the nature of being a servant, of being a maid, of being a butler, is I get to put my hands on the things that are most intimate and intricate when it comes to your life. The same thing when it comes to being a pastor, for instance. People tell me things that they had not told anyone else ever. People share with me their weaknesses. They share with me their strengths. They share with me their joys. They share with me their deepest sorrows. They share with me their expectations and their hopes. They share with me their hopelessness. And they share with me in the most important times. I'm usually next to a couple that's bringing their first child into the world, and I'm one of the first calls that they make. Or when somebody that's close to them passes away, the call to the pastor is one of the first calls that you make. And that's because we serve. And we serve, which gives us a perspective once again and gives us involvement in things that are very, very personal and things that really, truly matter. It's not possible to serve that way if you're serving from a mountaintop position. It's not possible to serve that way if you're serving from some kind of throne position. I've been physically on mountaintops. And while, as you said earlier, the view is incomparable, what you can do with that view from there, it's pretty much negligible. What you can really see that's going on some thousands of feet below you, and what you can do to affect that is negligible. So being there is fine. And I believe that the high moments that we have in our spiritual walk are great. But unless we come down from those high moments down to the valley ready to serve, then what good are those high moments? What good is that high position if it's not used to serve people where they really live and to wash them and to wash their feet as Jesus did? Sometimes to wash their clothes, sometimes to wash, to clean their house, so to speak, and deal with the very, very mundane day-to-day things that really do in the long run matter and really do in the long run have much more to do with how life is lived than that which we are privy to on the mountaintop. And we have to be very careful as servants of the Lord God to not have such a desire to be successful and such a desire to see some of the things that we would ascribe to success, but to go one soul at a time, because that's how the Spirit moves, one soul at a time, serving that soul according to the opportunity God gives us and doing that with humility.
Pastor, you mentioned Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and I just want to read that passage out of John chapter 13, because this is where the rubber meets the road. It says, starting in verse 5, "After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." And then I'm going to jump down to verse 13 here, Pastor. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Wow. Pastor, Jesus set a clear example here, yet I'm particularly just struck by the action that he took of physically getting down on his hands and knees and doing this rather dirty job, getting low enough to actually wash somebody else's feet. How significant of an action was this, Pastor?
To this very day, the people who, quote unquote, wash feet, the people who scrub floors, the people who scrub toilets, the people who pick up and empty the trash, the people who wash the dishes, the pots and pans in a restaurant, for instance, they're considered on the lowest end of the totem pole, so to speak. And those jobs are not jobs that anyone aspires to. But imagine where we would be if we didn't have people doing those jobs and doing them well. And think about where we would be personally if we ourselves never picked up a mop, never picked up a broom, never took out the trash. I've said for many years, and I'll continue to say, that somebody's got to take out the trash. You know, so when I see, for instance, I'll see a television show where a person is buying an immaculate home or a very expensive home or a dream home. And while dream homes are a wonderful thing for people who dream about homes, I always say somebody's got to take out the trash. So it doesn't matter how beautiful a house you move into. If you're going to live there, if there's going to be life there, then that house has to be cleaned, unless it's going to turn into something less than a dream house very quickly. And once again, if you're going to serve God's people, then it's a wonderful thing to have a position that God has given you and anointed you for. It is a wonderful thing to be honored, to be looked to as someone who is an example of godliness and righteousness and something that you should aspire to. And one of the things that should be seen in you, if you do have that position, is that you are willing to serve, you're willing to take out the trash, you're willing to sweep the floor, you're willing to do all those things. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't be in that position if you haven't already done those things. And certainly, you should be willing always to do them, even continually, if necessary, because Jesus did it. And if Jesus could humble himself, being Lord and Master, creator of all things, and wash my feet, then how much more should I be willing to do whatever God leads me to do, no matter how lowly an estate is usually ascribed to? Because God sees things much differently than we do. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His methods are not our methods. And his order of things are not our order of things. That's the most important thing to remember.
Pastor, I'm just reminded that the scripture tells us in James chapter 1 to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So once again, I'm just encouraged by the action that Jesus took. And of course, everything that you just said, I'm reminded of something that you often tell the congregation, which is to give what you need. If you need encouragement, encourage somebody. If you need provision, for example, I'm reminded of the widow's mite. She gave everything she had, obviously trusting that God was going to provide for her. So I'm hoping you can just talk about this, because the way that I interpret this instruction, Pastor, is just as the servant is obscure and perhaps not highly regarded, there's a blessing, there's a covering, there's a provision that the Lord has for his servants that perhaps maybe most don't see. Is that accurate?
Yes, Cody, the way to fullness in the spirit is emptiness. The way to heights is lowliness. And the way to success, so to speak, may very well and usually is sacrifice and patience and suffering. That's not a popular message, therefore you don't hear it preached very often anymore. I don't know if you ever did, but I'm pretty sure that you don't so much today, in a day where influencers and motivational speakers are the voices that are often platformed in churches, entrepreneurs, and those who guide us somewhere other than our knees, to guide us to look at things in a way that are antithetical, actually, to the way Jesus would have us to see things. God absolutely prepares us for what the Bible calls good success. And good success is based on being right with God, in agreement with God. And then we let the chips fall where they may. Once we're in agreement with God, we humble ourselves and serve His purposes. And so it's not about influence. There's what we call the fivefold ministry, which comes from Ephesians 4:11, Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And what you don't see there is motivational speakers. You don't see influencers. You don't see entrepreneurs. All of those things may have a place, but they don't have a place according to the anointing that God gives those that He brings to serve His people. That's what the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's what they provide, service to the children of God. And that is good success. When the children of God learn to serve and learn to see themselves according to the word of God and the will of God, that's good success. And that's what matters. And always comes through service. And it always comes through sacrifice. And it always comes through obedience.
I just want to reference a few more scriptures here, Pastor. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5. And it says in verse 2, "Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy.'" Now, if you don't know the story, because I can't read the whole thing right now, once again, 2 Kings chapter 5, but I'm just going to go down, Pastor, to verse 12, because we know the story. Naaman did go to the prophet, and it says in verse 12, "Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" This is Naaman talking. "Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage, but his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Powerful passages, Pastor, because the servants had a voice. I'm reminded of something that you always say, which is no one says no to a servant. Can you just talk about that? And why is that true, Pastor?
Well, Cody, no wise person says no to a servant. A pastor friend of mine said that to me years ago, and I've never forgotten it, because a servant is sent and employed to look out for the well-being of the person that they're serving. And what a wonderful thing it is to hearken to someone who's looking out for our well-being. An effective servant effectively looks out for my benefit. That's why I listen to him or her. And even to this very day, once again, God sets servants up over his house, and we are wise to listen to them. The Bible makes it very clear that we are wise to listen to our pastors. We're wise to listen to the teachers whose lives are, they prove that they're worth listening to. We not only hear their words, but to see the witness of their lives. So Naaman did that. And look at how God works. Naaman did not know, could not have known of Elisha, the prophet to whom he was sent, who instructed him to dip in the Jordan, could not have known of him except from a servant who knew of him. And the servant sent him to the servant of the Most High God, who had Naaman's best interest at heart. Now, we may think, why would God have Naaman's best interest at heart? Because Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army, a very high-ranking captain in the Syrian army that wreaked havoc in Israel. But once again, God's ways are much, much higher than ours. And this testimony that Naaman was going to have from this point on was important to God. God showed him favor. And Naaman listened to his servant at the crucial moment. He goes all the way to meet Elisha, and we couldn't read the entire story, but he meets Elisha, and Elisha gives him instruction. Elisha doesn't accept a gift from him. Elisha doesn't want anything from him at all. He just wants the opportunity to serve according to God's purpose, and he sends him to get his healing. And he was going to walk away from that because, as he said, there are greater rivers than the Jordan in Syria. And he's absolutely right. I've been to Israel. And I've been to the Jordan, and the Jordan is only a significant river as it pertains to its place in the scriptures. Once again, God's ways are not our ways. God didn't use the Nile, for instance, the way he used the Jordan, but he used it, this insignificant body of water, because the whole theme of service and servanthood and obeying our servants, you would think the servants called to do all the obeying. Well, if we're wise, there are times when we absolutely will obey the servant. It's not that the servant became the master, but the servant used a position that he had to bless the master. And so therefore, you and I have been given position and opportunity from being in the lower position to see things and have a perspective that you can't possibly have from the higher position. Now, if those of us who do have a higher position are willing to humble ourselves, then our servants will be a great blessing to us. If we don't, then we'll treat our servants poorly. And the ones who could help us the most, the ones who have the opportunity and the perspective and the knowledge to help us the most, will be used poorly and will benefit us poorly.
I'm reminded that the scripture tells us that the Lord exalts the humble and he humbles those who exalt themselves. So when we put ourselves low, once again, we trust the Lord with lifting us up. And if you don't mind, Pastor, I just want to talk about you for a moment, because you've shared with me your story, your journey through ministry. And if you don't mind talking about that just briefly, because the way that I recall is that you started out just simply serving. What can I do? Eventually, they had to give you keys, if I remember correctly.
Yes. I cut my teeth on ministry and preaching, for instance, downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row. I preached as a Bible study leader and a Sunday morning and Sunday evening teacher at Fred Jordan Mission for 3.5 years. And it was really my initial entry into what you might call platform ministry, other than the music ministry. Actually, my first ministry was that as a worship leader. But when it came to pastoral ministry, when it came to teaching ministry, that began in a very obscure place. And then through the years, my pastors began telling me that I wasn't just simply a worship leader, but I was a pastor teacher. I didn't know that, but just by serving in the way that I did and taking the opportunities to serve according to the opportunities that were given me, it was clear to those who were over me, so to speak, that I was called to pastoral ministry, which once again, I think is the most important occupation on the face of the earth, because what's most important to God is what Jesus died for. And that's you and me and those who believe. And if I get an opportunity to serve those that Jesus died for, I can't think of a greater honor. And I've always endeavored to look at these opportunities as an honor. Now, you have to be very careful, because the ministry is heady stuff. And I think the Holy Spirit, I know that the Holy Spirit does the work in us to keep the ministry from being about heady stuff. But it always comes down to the work God is doing, one soul, one opportunity to serve at a time. And I always wanted to keep my eyes on that and to keep that my perspective. Now, if God gives me influence, there's that word again, if he gives me opportunity, rather, to touch the hearts of those of many, then I will take it. But there's a good chance that I will never know the number of people, the breadth of my influence, the breadth of my blessing, how I've blessed other people through my service until the day I stand before God. Because once again, God's ways are not my ways. And I don't believe that large and oversized means effective. I believe that effective ministry happens, once again, one soul at a time, one decision at a time, one decision to humble ourselves at a time. And that's what I've tried to keep my eyes on. And I've I'm blessed by the opportunities that God's given me, for instance, to speak to the people who are listening to my voice right now, to remind them of what's really important, that the last will be first. And I always think if the last will be first, why do we spend so much time and effort trying to be first? And it's better, as Jesus said, to sit in the back of the room instead of pressing to the front. And it is doubtful that God will ever fill up any man or woman who is not first empty. And God makes his best leaders out of those who are willing to be led, out of those who are willing to serve, and especially serve his purposes in those that they lead. I believe the heavens are open to that man, open to that woman, who their only concern is that God gets his way through their efforts. I believe the heavens are open and God gives us a higher place than he gives anyone else, but that high place looks like service. And that's what Jesus did. He was a servant. There's no one higher, but he, being our Lord, washed our feet. And may we do the same.
Amen. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Thank you, Cody. That's a great way to end our conversation.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God. We hope you found this discussion stimulating and enjoyable, as well as uplifting. So much so that you'll tell a friend or two and listen in again. Pastor Eric and I will be back with the next episode shortly. Until then, may God bless and strengthen you in your walk with Him. On behalf of Pastor Eric, I'm Cody Willis, praying God's best for you.